A reading from the Gospel of Mark. King Herod heard about Jesus, for his fame had become widespread, and people were saying, "John the Baptist has been raised from the dead." That is why mighty powers were at work in him. Others were saying, "He's Elijah." Still others, "He's a prophet like any of the prophets." But when Herod learned of it, he said, "It's John whom I beheaded. He has been raised up." And Herod was the one who had John arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, whom he had married. And John had said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Oh, Herodias harbored a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but was unable to do so. Herod feared John, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man, and kept him in custody. And when he heard him speak, he was very much perplexed, yet he liked to listen to him. Herodias had an opportunity one day when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers, his military officers, and the leading men of Galilee. And his own daughter came in and performed a dance that delighted Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me whatever you wish and I'll grant it to you." He even swore many things to her. "I will grant you whatever you ask of me, even to half of my kingdom." And she went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" Her mother replied, "The head of John the Baptist." And the girl hurried back to the king's presence and made her request. "I want you to give me at once on a platter the head of John the Baptist." And the king was deeply distressed, but because of his oaths and the guests, he did not wish to break his word to her. So he promptly dispatched an executioner with orders to bring back his head. And he went off, beheaded him in the prison, and he brought in the head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl in turn gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Well, this does seem an odd intervention in the development of Jesus' ministry to the people of Galilee. After all, Jesus' baptism by John the Baptist had occurred in the first chapter of Mark's Gospel. And here we are in chapter 6, returning to the John story. And a gruesome piece of story it is. Why? You'll recall that after the baptism by John, Jesus had set to work, gathering some disciples, preaching, telling parable stories, and healing people all around Galilee. But just as it seems like he's in full swing, just look at that remarkable story we read on Tuesday about the woman with a hemorrhage. Things begin to go wrong. The people in his own town of Nazareth make it clear he's unwelcome. In guiding his new disciples on their initial preaching mission, he warns them to expect to be rebuffed and dismissed in certain places. And now he returns to the Baptist story, which shows that even a widely acknowledged good man like John can die at the whim of a politician. So there are three stories in a row about rejection. Rejection of Jesus, of his disciples, and now of John the Baptist. What exactly is being rejected by the people involved here? Well, I think it's about change, really. John and Jesus and his followers are in the business of inviting people to what the gospel usually calls repentance. In Greek, the word metanoia, which really means a change of mind, to change the way they see the world, to change their perception of what God wants of them, to change the way they act in society. Jesus heals people at a time when sickness was regarded as a punishment from God for the sufferer's sins. Jesus tells parables that invite people to think for themselves instead of succumbing to their leaders' instructions. Jesus breaks the rules of social contact with the lepers and the woman. John had challenged Herod for his sleazy politics and unprincipled ethics in marrying his brother's wife. Jesus, like John before him, has tried to free people from a religious and political system that protects the people in power and manipulates the poor. Well, it's all too much of a threat to the status quo. And so Jesus and John face rejection. So far, for Jesus, it has been just a case of, hey, you, get out of town. But this story today gives strong warning of what Jesus will face in the future. And both Jesus and John find that the very values that they espouse will be used against them, and that people will not change even in the cause of goodness and freedom. And brutality is on the cards. Well, for us today, it's easy to point the finger at groups like ISIS when we see good people abused and murdered. Yet I can't help thinking about that French cartoon and provocation it represented to so many good Muslim people, and all the subsequent arguments about the importance of free speech. Is this the change of mind that John the Baptist and later Jesus had in mind when they called people to metanoia? Does this slot in beside healing the sick, challenging people's mindset, bringing people to true freedom? Make no mistake, Jesus is no shy violet when it comes to dealing with people whose values he rejects. He will not sanction the mere preservation that seems to be a part of the elite of Israel at that time. Jesus calls for change, and he's prepared to suffer, even as John the Baptist suffered, in the cause of that change. And today we also need to be clear about the change that we and our community must face in God's name, even if we face opposition. So, how do we deal with the brutish ISIS affair? And how do we deal with our own self-interest? Only by change. It's hard.